Thank you. It's my pleasure to have the opportunity to step into what's given the opportunity to share with you some of the work that we have been doing in our Critical Zone Observatory. So I'm talking on behalf of my postdoc who could not make it to give this presentation. But also I need to acknowledge my another former postdoc, Chris Green, who was Jeff's PhD student, who contributed to this work as well. So now my framework of this piece of work, there are a lot of things going on in our Critical Zone Observatory, so I'm just presenting a very small piece of it. It's the idea highlighted at the bottom. That is, we're trying to explore some kind of underlying structure hidden from our view, but it's in the subsurface of different kind of soils, and that will govern how the water will move through the soil in terms of the pattern that we might detect at different scales. So if you look at from 1D to 2D and 3D at different scales, you know, you kind of see that preferential flow kind of everywhere, but how do we kind of get a sense of how frequent that might occur and what kind of mechanism that caused the preferential flow to occur? Now, in this particular talk, I'm not going to dive into the mechanisms, but more to give you a sense of how frequent that could occur in our CZO and what are the main controls. So a kind of broad brush perspective. So here's the bird's eye view of our forested catchment, 7.9 hectare forested catchment. What you are seeing here is without trees, obviously, just giving you a sense of the topography layouts. And all the dots that we have is kind of monitoring stations that we have a lot of soil moisture and other data. But what I'm going to focus on here is the soil moisture data. It's located in the central Pennsylvania. So I'm going to give you two scales, as the title suggests. I'm going to look, show you first this just one hill slope scale as well, and then I will expand to the whole catchment in terms of the general picture. So the way that we synthesizing our data is like this. So in each of locations, we have a bunch of sensor arrays, as this example shows. So you have a lot of sensors at different depths, and so at in a given zone event, so they will have a response time being recorded in our every 10 minutes data. Actually, some of that is every half minute data. And so we interpret that data in such a way that we can tell whether it's preferential flow or sequential flow in a general way. Again, I'll put aside the mechanisms. That's a different story. But rather just give you the summary of how frequent that occurs and what kind of main controls involved in our particular catchment. So just one quick example to illustrate what I mean by preferential flow here. So if you follow the classical understanding of water moving through the soil, the filtering effect, so different colors means different sensors at different depths that we have in each of the monitoring stations. So here you have 5 centimeter sensor, 10 centimeter sensor responded to this particular storm event, very expected sequential pattern. But if you look at the deeper depths, you know, 100 centimeter horizon sensor responded to this particular big storm at this 2:03 p.m., but the sensor above it at 88 centimeter responded 9 minutes later. So if the water should go through from the top to the bottom, that is just out of sequence, we call it. So we consider that as a preferential flow. Now, in order to interpret the mechanism, we have to know the site condition, where it is located, what soil we're talking about, and all that. So in this particular case, it's interpreted as the subsurface lateral flow from the upslope area. This is located in a mixed slope location. So I'm not going to dive into the mechanism, like I said, which we can say a lot about the data we have, but rather to give you a sense of the hill slope scale and the catchment scale in terms of how frequent preferential flow, whatever mechanism might be that occur in our forest catchment. So start with the hill slope scale. We have 10 sites with different soils as laid out here. And I'm going to give you the summarized information about the frequency and the controls. So just to give you how we summarize the data. So again, here's one site at a rigid top. And here you have the, a sensor at 37 centimeter response at this time, but the sensor at 5 centimeter responded later to this particular storm event. So that's a preferential flow phenomenon. So we summarize our data by this way. So we classify each storm event. So we have hundreds of them that we are summarizing. So in terms of the preferential flow or the sequential flow, so two sites in the rigid top, four sides in the mid slope, and then three sides in the very floor. So then we try to link two different possible controls in terms of a bunch of indices showing antecedent precipitation conditions, soil moisture conditions, time of the storm initiation, and different features of the storm characteristics. So there are a bunch of stuff that we try to correlate with. And so here's one example how we correlate that. So for each site, we group into preferential flow or preferential flow or non-preferential flow in each storm event. So we have hundreds of them, like I said, and do the statistical significant tests. So in this case, it's significantly different in terms of the total precipitation between the two groups of sites for the same storm event, that they are significantly different in terms of total precipitation causing preferential flow versus sequential flow. And next site, also quite significant, statistically speaking, based on, in this case, 175 events. And then next site along the hill slope, again, it's about 95% significance level. But next one, no significant, and no significant, quite significant. So you have just a different site that we group them in terms of whether one particular index, in this case total precipitation, causing the grouping of preferential flow, non-preferential flow, significant or not. So if you do that, then you end up with this messy table. But that message is hopefully clear enough. So here I'm showing you hill slope, three groups, three sites at the very floor, four sites at the mid slope, and three sites at the ridge top. So bunch of indices on the left first column, and those significant ones are all colored in gray. And then if you look at that total precipitation, you can see that it's not all the sites, but many sites are seeing the precipitation total amount being significant control to differentiate events causing preferential flow versus events causing just sequential response in the sensor arrays. And if you look at initial soil moisture condition, it's also quite a significant factor for many sites. So we have a lot of these factors we summarize, and here is a simple way to understand what's from that messy table. So it turns out that it depends on the hill slope locations, all right? It's not across the whole hill slope being the same, but it depends on a number of factors depending on the hill slope position. So at the ridge top, you are seeing that the higher air temperature, drier soil initial condition, and storm that occur in the late summer and fall being significant causes of preferential flow. In the valley floor, lower elevation sites, you are seeing wet initial soil moisture condition, total precipitation being high, long time from the start of storm until 10 millimeter total precipitation event, high precipitation amounts and average intensity from the start of the storm until the maximum intensity, and high maximum storm current precipitation index being significant factors. And in the mixed load, it kind of mix off these two ends of spectrum. With high temperature of air, wet initial soil condition, high maximum precipitation intensity, and high precipitation time series, skewness and kurtosis, and a long time to maximum storm column precipitation indices. To put it even simpler way, essentially what we are seeing here is that in the ridge top area, we are seeing that the drier condition or the summertime being more the window for precipitation to occur, that could be attributed to basically hydrophobicity and cracking in the summertime in a forest landscape with the little layer or the organic rich surface soil. But in the valley floor, it depends on more the wetter initial soil condition, more the subsurface lateral flow coming from the hill slope reach the valley floor, so it requires more precipitation and also wetter initial moisture conditions for the water to come down to the very floor. And the mid slope is kind of mixture of these two, so it's a little bit more compressed to say one way or the other. But that's the general pattern I'm trying to say. So now, go beyond the hill slope is the whole catchment. Now we have, instead of this sphere I just described to you, I'm showing you total of 35 sites across the catchment with different soil types, different hill slope positions, and different type of landform units. And so what is the statistical result of that going through the similar procedures, which I'm skipping now for the entire catchment scenario, but similar procedures we follow along with, in this case, 525 events over 5.5 years of data. So here's the summarized result in terms of the general pattern of preferential flow occurred in each of these 35 monitoring sites. It ranges from less than 10% up to near 70% in terms of frequency. So higher the bar, the higher the frequency of preferential flow during that 5.5 years time period with 525 stone events we analyzed. And now, not only just the individual sites or the bar height in terms of their variability, spatially speaking, I want to draw your attention to what's revealed through this catchment-wide monitoring, that is the general pattern hidden from us, where you see the darker the area, the more frequent preferential flow will occur through our data, just about down. And so you can see the hidden preferred pathways or flow network revealed from this kind of monitoring data. This is not on the surface. Those are hidden from us in the subsurface. So we have evidence actually to prove in terms of why preferential flow is common in our catchments and what are the mechanisms or controls of that through other studies we have been doing in the same catchment. This is just illustration of ground penetrating data for the shallow soil and the deeper soil in the middle swale in the dry season versus wet season in terms of the signal difference to reveal what might be the mechanism behind the preferential flow. In this case, we are seeing the fractured rock being the one that is conducting water through preferentially. But in this middle of the swale, thicker soil, it's the dense layer we call C here that cause the perch water table that introduced the preferential lateral flow down the hill slope. We also have isotope data where we summarize multiple years data showing you from the ridge top to the mid slope to very far in terms of the winter time and the summer time. So winter time in the blue, summer time in red. And overall pattern is strong isotope attenuation with depth. Here's the groundwater isotope data, pretty stable for our catchments over several years of data. But also showing you that in winter time, preferential flow occur along the soil horizon and soil barrel interface, as the zigzag shape shows. And then in the summer time, though, you see the different signature of isotope in terms of preferential flow occurring vertically through macropoles. And so this kind of filtering effect through the soil, as Jeff's talk was referring to. So to summarize, there are two messages I hope I conveyed in some way to you from this particular piece of study. That is, preferential flow was common through our forest catchment, occurring during less than 1% up to 70%, overall average 26% of 323 events over 5.5 years, and each of the 35 monitor sites. But if you just consider one out of 35 sites, that's over 95% of the events that we generate. And the second point is that why the frequency of preferential flow appear insensitive to topographic position, but the control on its occurrence is related to the landscape position and the soil type associated with the landscape position. With that, thanks for your attention and acknowledging my funding from NSF. Thanks.